Let us pray. Father, we lift up your name. You are the one who will be worshipped even before our generation. You are worthy and eternally worthy. And we give you all our trust in you, in life or in death. When you are in the mountains or when we are in the valleys, we give our trust in you, that you will lift the name of your Son Jesus above all names, and he will prove to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We trust in that. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, thank you that you have given us this Sunday, the brand new Sunday, that we can focus on you and we can find our peace and joy in the Lord. Let us give all our strength to lift your name high in this worship and receive all the glory and honor from each one of us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Daniel in the lion's den is perhaps one of the most famous and well-known stories of the Bible. Children love this story. Children's storybook, however, often depict a young Daniel taming lions in the den. But he wasn't so young when he was put into the lion's den. He was in his early 80s when that happened. So one small lesson for all of us is, even if someone is faithful all his life, there could be still difficulties and suffering. So that's a good consolation for all of us. And today I'd like to look at what happened in the lion's den. Amazing things happened in the lion's den to Daniel. Would you please turn with me to Daniel 6? We are going to read 16 through 18 to begin with. It's on the screen. Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you." And a stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of his nobles, so that nothing might be changed in regards to Daniel. Then the king went off to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no entertainment was brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. Now Daniel was sent into the lion's den, and the entrance was sealed. King Darius knew that he was trapped by his satraps and nobles about Daniel, but he could not revert the decree. It was too late. One interesting thing in this portion of the Bible, the narrator does not give anything to what happened to Daniel. It was only focused on King Darius. You know, if this scene was made into a movie shoot, it will be very interesting to see Darius' face. That is nervous and frustrating. We would wonder what Daniel's appearance be like. I would imagine Daniel was peaceful and calm. And the king was giving a farewell speech to Daniel, saying, "Your God, whom you serve constantly, will deliver you." This sounds like a prophetic words, and it turned out to be like a prophetic word. in retrospect, but it was not actually a prophetic word. It was a word of wishes, but in reality, it was a farewell speech. The last words that King could say to Daniel, with virtually no hope in these words. Now the stone was sealed and Daniel is gone. King Darius was depressed. He skipped his evening meals and suspended all entertainments in the evening and started fasting. And he could not sleep because of his thought on Daniel. You know, whether Daniel would be living or dying in the den, Daniel's life, even this night, was a great success. You know why? A pagan king recognized the face of Daniel. The king Darius described the God of Daniel, whom he served constantly. Daniel gave a great testimony to many people, especially to King Darius. Daniel showed an amazing example as a believer of God to lift up the name of the Lord, no matter what happens. What is at stake here is the glory of the Lord from a witness of Daniel. So, with that, I'd like to share the first truth from this episode. The truth is, God is glorified from the testimony of His believers. God is glorified from the testimony of His believers. You know, when you give the God's name above all names from your life, no matter what happens to you, God is glorified. You know, that's the message. That's the truth, number one, that we have to embrace all the time. Daniel won the battle already from that point of view. The real warfare took place in his prayer room a day before he was sent into the lion's den. Daniel constantly served the Lord no matter what. The decision to go to his prayer room was a victory itself. He simply continued to worship God through his prayer as he has been doing because of his unwavering faith in the Lord. He was sent into the lion's den, but King Darius recognized this. Daniel impacted the king. He gave an amazing testimony to King Darius about the God he served. That itself, in and of itself, is a great success and great victory. You know, I said Daniel's life was a great success a short while ago. Do you know why? It was because the name of the Lord was lifted from his unwavering faith. We don't necessarily praise Daniel's faith, but we praise God from Daniel's unwavering faith. That's what he did. God's reputation was kept from Daniel's life. And Daniel showed King Darius that the God he serves is worthy and eternally worthy even beyond his life. That's what Daniel left, that impression, that message to the king and the Medes and Persian Empire. So King Darius saw that Daniel has something more important than his own life, that is the worship of his God. Who is this God my servant Daniel is willing to die for? You know, Daniel left an indelible imprint in the heart of King Darius. And this itself was a great success for Daniel. He was a faithful witness to the Lord, to the world. Now let's look at verses 19 through 23. Then the king arose with the dawn at the break of day, and went in haste to the lion's den. When he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel spoke to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him. And also towards you, O king, I have committed no crime. Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. So apparently, King Darius did not sleep at all. As soon as the day was dawned, he hurriedly went to the lion's den. And outside of the lion's den, king cried out with a loud voice to check if Daniel was still alive. And Daniel replied back with his voice, and king was so happy to see Daniel living. And the king called Daniel before the servant of you constantly serve him, but now he's saying Daniel as a servant of the living God. So changes from verse 16 to verse 21. You know, what an incredible testimony Daniel gave to the pagan king, and the lion did not even touch Daniel as the angel of the Lord shut the mouth of the lion. You know, when Daniel kept on his prayer to the Lord the day before he was put into the lion's den, he really didn't know what would happen to him in the lion's den. He knew that God can deliver him, as he did to his three friends in the previous case. But that doesn't mean God will do the same thing to deliver him in his case. He did not make any presumption on God, nor he demanded God to do so. He simply trusted God in life or in death. God did not apparently prevent Daniel from being thrown into the lion's den. He indeed allowed Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den. And then he sent his angel to deliver him, and that is the way God chose to deliver Daniel in this case. You know, why do you think God chose this way? By the way, God often does allow his faithful to go through the stones, and only then he delivers out of the stone. I believe it is to testify his majesty and power to King Darius and the Mede-Persian Empire. The pagan King Darius was startled with the way Daniel was delivered. And after seeing all that happenings here, he praised the God of Daniel as the living God. So this is the truth number two I can see from this passage. Truth number two is God is glorified when the world recognizes his renown. You know, God is glorified when we testify his fame as a believer, but also God is glorified when the world recognizes his renown. In this case, I believe God has a clear purpose not only for Daniel, but also to King Darius. At the end of the story, King Darius worshiped the God of Daniel with incredible words of praise. Look at verses 26 to 27. And this is actually a prayer or confession of King Darius. He is the living God and enduring forever. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed, and his dominion will be forever. He delivers, rescues, and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So God is glorified when the world recognizes his renown. I believe that is one of the important purposes why he allowed Daniel to put into the lion's den. So God's glory was demonstrated to King Darius and the entire Persian Empire. The God of Daniel was feared by them. I believe many also believed in the God of Daniel, including very possibly King Darius himself. So there was clearly the plan of God, the plan of the sovereign God, why he allowed Daniel to be delivered from the den of the lions. You know, when you are going through the storms of life, there must be the ultimate purpose of God who puts you in the storms. God will deliver you out of the storms in his time and in his ways. But the deliverance itself is not his aim. You know, when you're in the storms, all we think is getting out of that difficulty, right? And then when God delivers us out of that, we praise God because we are out of it. But let me say that I don't think that's the ultimate purpose of God. There's a bigger purpose, ultimate purpose behind all those sufferings. You know, from your perseverance of faith, there is an opportunity for you to give God his glory while you are still in the storms. You know, it's not about the faith you kept out of it, but God who receives his glory from your kept faith. I think that's the ultimate goal. You can glorify God not because God put you out of the lion's den of your own, but because you trusted him no matter what, and God is glorified by just that. King Darius ended up glorifying God of Daniel, not Daniel himself. And our portion is faith in the Lord, and God's portion is his glory. We are not glorifying ourselves by trusting the Lord. We are glorifying God by trusting in the Lord. Our trust is what glorifies the Lord. And our trust of God is God of eternity. It transcends, what we see on earth. Because the worship of the Lord will continue on, even if we may not be on earth. It will be continue on in all eternity. We will continue to worship him, not only on earth, but also in his kingdom. Even if he take our life out of this realm, we will continue to worship him. You know, that is the catch. That is the thing that we have to embrace, God of eternity. And his eternal kingdom of God, we will continue to worship him. And our trust in the God of eternity is what glorifies him. By the way, it was less important to see what would happen to Daniel in lion's den than what already happened in his prayer room the day before. The real spiritual battle took place already in his prayer room. When Daniel decided to continue to pray in his room, he already won the spiritual battle. The story could tell us that Daniel died. Daniel was devoured in the lion's den. That doesn't change anything, because Daniel won the battle in his prayer room when he continued on of his prayer and of the worship, the God of eternity. He had something that which he was willing to die for. That was the honor of the Lord. Even if Jerusalem temple was ruined, but he wanted to demonstrate that his God is still living forever. And he did. Have you watched a movie called Silence? Let me introduce another movie today. This is a 2016 movie, which is quite recent. You know, whenever I talk about movie, I think I see the attention is coming. The plot of the movie follows two 17th century Portuguese Jesuit priests who went to Japan in search of their missing priest, mentor, prominent priest who was missing in Japan. So he was kind of missing in mission, so to speak, and nobody heard about him for so many years. So these two students, disciples of that priest, went off to Japan in search of his the mentor. And actually, this movie is historic fiction. So there may be some truth to it, but it's a fiction. And Andrew Garfield, do you know him? He plays one of the priests named Sebastian Rodriguez. And he and his friend was looking for his mentor, Francis Garupe, played by Liam Neeson. You know, by the time Sebastian Rodriguez found his mentor after years of suffering since he arrived in Japan, he couldn't believe what happened to his mentor. His mentor disowned faith in Jesus and has become a Shinto priest. Such a shocking, sad ending when he found his mentor disowned Jesus. But in the same way, the movie tells us that after unbearable tortures, Andrew Garfield, Sebastian Rodriguez, also ended up to disown his faith in Jesus and became a Shinto priest, just as his mentor has become for the rest of his life in Japan. I think he was afraid of losing his life, bottom line. He was so tortured and couldn't bear the pains, physical pain and spiritual pains that inflicted upon him, but he ended up disowning his faith in Jesus. And he chose to keep his life than to die for the sake of Jesus Christ. You know, when the priest disowned Jesus in the fear of death, they lost for good the opportunity to spread the name of Jesus Christ in Japan. I believe, although this is a fiction, there's some history behind it. No one would believe the God of priests who compromised their faith. I think that's the message. And if this God is not worthy to be honored by the top-notch priest, who would believe in this God? Nobody. And Japan is still one of the nations where Christianity has little impact. But I'm not sure whether this is a true historical fact or not, but nonetheless, this fiction basically tells us the message to us. In a similar way, God's name was at stake in the story of Daniel. Daniel was resolved not to put the name of his God dishonored by his compromise. He went into the prayer room to pray to the Lord and worship him, and that was the victory for him and for the Lord. The battle was already won in his prayer room the day before he was sent into lion's den. Daniel put God's name renowned by entering to his prayer room. So this is my So the truth I'd like to share this morning with you and me, God is glorified when a believer is willing to surrender all things for God's sake. God is glorified when a believer is willing to surrender all things for God's sake. Daniel has something that which he would be willing to die for. That was God's glory, God's name, God's renown, God's reputation. He did not beg to live. If he did, he would not gone into his prayer room, just suspend his prayer for 30 days in silence, and he could have lived. He did not have to be sent the lion's den. But praying to God was more important than saving his own life by his compromise. The real lion's den was actually in his prayer room. That's where the spiritual battle was taking place. And he won the battle in his prayer room by the worship of his God. Martin Luther said this very interesting quote. Even if I knew the world would end tomorrow, I would continue to plant my apple trees. I thought it was spoken by Spinoza, but you know, people say actually Martin Luther said that. But Daniel would say, even if tomorrow is the last day of my life, I would continue to worship the Lord today. Let me ask this question. Do you have the purpose for which you'd be willing to die for? You know, Daniel had that purpose. That purpose of Daniel was the glory of the living God who transcends, you know, life on earth and even beyond. To lift up the living God and his reputation, Daniel wouldn't mind to die. Actually, Daniel is a foreshadow of Jesus Christ, our Lord. The real battle for Jesus also took place at the Mount of Olives. There was a place called Gethsemane in the Mount of Olives where Jesus prayed throughout his ministry. And on the night before he was crucified, Jesus was praying his last prayer at the Mount of Olives, as he has done occasionally. I'd like to share Luke Gospel 22:39-44. This is the scene of Jesus' prayer at the Mount of Olives. Luke 22:39-44. And he came out and proceeded. Let me read my script. It's hard to see. As was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. As was his custom, that means it was his habit. Good habit. Good habit is always a good thing. You agree? He needed this prayer. And the disciples also followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, and yet not my will, but yours be done." Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthened him, and being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. So Jesus won his battle at the Mount of Olives when he prayed to his Father. He was in agony and feeling the weight of bearing the sins of the world the next day. He knew his death was just around the corner, and he expressed his desire to get off the hook from the path of Calvary, but he was resolved to do the Father's will over his desire. And Jesus said, "If you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. So Father's will, what was the Father's will upon this son? The Father's will was, unfortunately and sadly, the death of his own son for the sins of the world. So Jesus was determined to do his Father's will. And that was the conclusion of his prayer. And he was arrested soon after his prayer and was put to the cross the next day. And his spiritual battle has already won at the Mount of Olives before Calvary, when he determined to take the cross for his Father's name, for his Father's sake, for his Father's will upon him. God is glorified when a believer is willing to surrender all things for God's sake, whatever that all things may mean to you. If we have this resolve in our heart, that all things, including our life, that is something that we need to grapple with, whether we are willing to even give up our own life, and we can continue to trust in the Lord. What will happen if I die? You know, what will happen to my family, my church, and my, whatever? We worry about it, but if we have this determination that God will take care of it, even if I'm not here, God will continue to protect the people that I love in His own will. I think that is kind of thing that we need to grapple with, because anyhow, our life will be taken away from earth. That will happen. But even before that happened, we should have that resolution in our heart. If we are willing to surrender all things, truly all things, and still continue to trust in the Lord or not. So before the miracle happened in the lion's den, Daniel kept to pray to God and worship Him in his prayer room. And before the miracle of resurrection took place in the tomb of Jesus, Jesus kept on praying at the Mount of Olives. Their spiritual battle was won in their prayer place. God only affirmed Daniel's victory in the lion's den. And in the same way, God only affirmed Jesus' victory from the tomb, but the battle has already won in their prayer place when they make that determination to surrender all things for God's sake. God honors your prayer and worship of trust. Trust is the key word here. Daniel trusted in the Lord. And your prayer room is the real battleground. The battle is whether we can trust the Lord or not. And you are winning in your prayer room. Let's pray. Father, we praise you that you are the living God, and you were there even before the foundation of the world, and you have been here with us, and you will be there even after we will be taken out of this earth. And we praise you because you are forever God. You are preeminent. You have no beginning and no end. You set the time, but you are beyond time. Father, give us your Holy Spirit so that we would be able to trust in you no matter what happens. And we confess that you are worthy and eternally worthy to give all things from us. You are worthy to surrender all things for your sake. give us this courage, this faith, so that our day on earth, each day, would be filled with confidence and courage and joy in the Lord and peace of the Lord. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take this offering that I bring. Humbly I fall on my knees to proclaim your everything. My life's nothing without you. Take my hand and lead me through. You are my sustaining love. I live to worship you. I live to worship you. Here I am worshiping you with all. This offering that I bring, humbly I fall on my knees to proclaim your everything. My life's nothing without you. Take my hand and lead me through. You are my sustaining love. I live to all I am, worship you, bowing down in spirit and truth, with lifted hands, worshiping you. Here I am, worshiping you, with all I am. with all I am, worshiping you, bowing down, lifted hands, worshiping you.
Oh, Father, and the Son and Holy Spirit, we worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you that you are the true living God, one God in three persons, who was and who is to come. No beginning, no end. You are the Alpha and the Omega. We thank you that we have the true living God in our heart. And may your name be lifted up. May your renown be glorified from us and from the people outside. Father, give us this resolve in our heart that we are willing to surrender all, everything for your sake. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and love of our God who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever. Amen.